today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
I want y'all to hear this, man. A prophet is without honor save in his own country. In other words, you try to go home and tell them you're saved, they'll be acting like, who are you? Who do you think you are? And I know you. I know your mama. That's what I know your daddy. I know your mama. You'll never be anything as it relates to God. So Jesus had to leave Nazareth. That's where he was born. And some of you want to prove to folk who don't like you anyway just how powerful you are. It's not about them. It's about the mission that God has called you to.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Make Some Noise in the House. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Mark chapter 2, verse 1.
Mark chapter, how many of you are reading Mark out loud? I only get a few hands. I think I shared with you all last week. You got to read this book out loud, and you got to play it in your house. You're going to drive out the hornet if you do. No devil can stay in your house. If you quote this, you're going to see deliverances. Amen. And I believe that. I believe the Holy Ghost is on it. God is rallying his people. He's bringing us home. He's bringing us back to what we need and what we belong. Amen. I believe power is going to be released in our church and in our region. I believe the city is going to come together. God is looking at cities. I believe he weeps over Palm Bay, over Melbourne, Rockledge, the beaches, all the way to Canaveral, Cape Canaveral, Titusville, Cocoa, Merritt Island, right? He weeps over the cities. From Miko to Mims, Scottsmore, all the way to our western shores, the Lord has his eye on Brevard. In the book of Mark chapter 2, I did a part 2 to the message last week. Empowered, what was it? What was the subject this morning? Empowered to impact. At 8 o'clock last week, we dealt with a message called the Introduction to the Book of Mark. And then the Power to Impact. Part 2 of that came about this morning at 8. I would like for you on Facebook to like and share this message. Let's get the word out. Go back last week on Facebook and like and share it if you haven't. Get the word out. Put it on your Facebook page. I hear people quoting and doing stuff with politics on their Facebook page. I can't get anybody, not a lot of you, to do that with your church and with your message. We need to spread the gospel. There are people you don't even know in Washington. You haven't even met them, but you met me. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Let's get with the ones we know. The Lord told me years ago, he said, after the year 2000, I will confirm my word with miracle signs and wonders. I will confirm my word. Do not go after phenomena. In other words, people are going to be driven by what they see. That's why I always come from the Bible and a newspaper. Bible and newspaper, not just news. Who do you think control all news around the world? The devil does. It's not God. God, his news is word. Media is tied to Lucifer. It's a kingdom that he has jurisdiction over it. So you can believe it if you want. I don't care if it's Fox, CNN. There's no righteous news. It's controlled by donors and money. And they manipulate what you hear. What we're trying to do is do the same thing in the kingdom by putting an antidote up there. In other words, we put word up there. But media is, the whole system is controlled. Music is mostly controlled by Satan as well. Do you know he was the first musician? First worship leader? He controls it. That's why I can you to a club. A lot of times you hear me quote a secular song because that's what you listen to. Y'all mad at me, but you listen to the music. You turn it on when you want to flip something. So what I'm trying to say is, I know this. I'm a pastor in the midst of you, 21st century pastor. I ain't going way back in God. I ain't going way back. We're going forward in God. Even Moses with me talking about, I'm going way back. Today, he'd be like, oh, I got to put on a vest and I got to wear Marines on the back of it and I got to talk to people in my day. Moses would do it. He ain't wearing no gown. Oh, my God, help me, Jesus. Glory to God. Just like if I popped up in Moses' time wearing this, they would all look at me weird. He would look weird if he was in the 21st century doing what you think they do. Go to Jerusalem, you'll see what I'm saying. Nobody's wearing those long gowns. They wear clothes just like you wearing. Okay. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. First, we'll read out of the King James, and then we'll read the same passage out of the New Living Translation, one verse. And again, he entered into Capernaum. After some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And it was noised that he was in the house. New Living Translation, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. That he was back home. As we deal with this series called The Power of God at Work, we're studying the book of Mark. Our subject today is make some noise in the house. Make some noise. Well, let me say it like Kurt Franklin. Make some noise. Let me say it like Kurt Franklin. Make some noise. I'll do like Kurt Franklin. I'll do like Kurt Franklin. Don't run out when I do it. Make some noise in the house. Make some noise in the house. This church should be known for the noise that's coming out of the house. Father, I give you praise for the noise, the excitement in the air because Jesus is home. And Father, I bless you and thank you as he migrates from Nazareth even to Capernaum. Father, I thank you for the transfer, the migration of your people from the familiar to a place, Father, called headquarters. And I give you glory and praise for the crown. The crown of our head being anointed, the sole of our feet treading upon serpents. Thank you for inoculating us from venom. I give you glory and praise for the new move of God that's taking place in our church and around the world. Bless the body of Christ. Bless your church. Make us beacon, a beacon of light and salt in the earth. Let your power drive out the serpent, drive out the hornet, drive out demons, drive out disease and sickness, drive out the unclean, drive out devils, and let your glory be seen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we clap our hands for the word of the Lord? Make some noise. Come on, make some noise. Come on, make some noise. Oh, yeah. Blessed be his name. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. In this chapter of Mark, it highlights several arguments, actually four arguments or debates that took place, noise that took place because Jesus came home and the power of God was released. The first argument that I discovered in this chapter is that Jesus and other religious leaders, Jewish religious leaders, begin to argue about his appearing, the teacher's appearing, the teacher's move, his presence. He heals a paralyzed man and forgives his sins as he heals him. And it created some noise. He also meets with the disreputable, or he meets with people who weren't religious. He meets in this chapter a man by the name of Levi, who becomes what we know as Matthew, who is a tax collector. And it was taboo to meet with those kind of people. But he met with him and he went into his house. And it is to show us that Jesus has no discrimination. Jesus doesn't care if you did it, you're going to do it, or you're about to do it. As long as you submit to him, he's open to you. And he goes into the man's house. This man was abhorred by the Jewish people because he took money from them. Yet Jesus pulled him into his orbit. And then he argues again about the need to fast, about the need to fast. And he's questioned about it. He goes into a debate on that. But his debates are different from ours. Jesus doesn't debate like we do in the 21st century. He asks questions and he makes a statement and he keeps on moving. He ain't trying to prove anything to you. You can believe it or not. You can hang out with him or you don't have to. You can get with it or not. Somebody said get lost. Well, let me tell you something. He wants you to be on the team, but he ain't arguing with you. Some of you have been dating the ministry too long. You need to connect with it, exchange rings, and let's get married. Amen. And I want to encourage you to stop playing with debates and move beyond them. A debate is basically a time to think about where you are and then shift. And then the last discourse or debate is about harvest food. Can you harvest food or work on the Sabbath day? And religious days and festivals and how important they are to our community and our world. And sometimes it trumps what we do for God. Jesus is going to explain to you how powerful his word is and his law and his presence is even above our festivals. And why is that important to you? You're going to see it. Amen. And God wants you to stop making noise with arguments and debates. He wants you to make noise because he's at home. He's in your home. He's in your church. He's in your life. Some people get more irate about an argument. It'll shift the way they move, but won't even invite Jesus. Let the noise come out of the house that he occupies. Glory to God. And so before I go into that, the Bible teaches us in Mark chapter 2, verse 1, he enters into Capernaum. Into Capernaum. Capernaum. So what is Capernaum? Write it down. Capernaum. It means city of comfort. City of comfort. The most important city in the northern area north of the Sea of Galilee. We don't know if it exists. It's not mentioned in the Old Testament at all. It looks like it was established after the Jewish people came out of captivity. They built what we call Capernaum. After they were released from Nebuchadnezzar and came home, they built this place. And Jesus decided to make it the center of his ministry. Capernaum is not mentioned, as I said, in the Old Testament. It's mentioned in the New Testament. They believe it was Jewish soldiers who helped to build it. I'm sorry, Roman soldiers who helped to build it after they returned from captivity. Capernaum is large enough to be called a city in the New Testament. It had what we call synagogues. That's temples of worship. It had a Roman garrison there. So you would see soldiers walking in Capernaum as well as temples there. It was the corner of the Roman system of taxation. So the Romans introduced, the Jewish people knew the tithe. The Romans introduced to them taxation. We even use taxation today, a mixture of the tithe, a type of tithe, and taxation today. And you can see a lot of people, even religious people today, if you say lower taxes, they stand up. That's God, but it may be Roman, not God. Oh, Jesus, I want to speak to the religious world of our day that run to the low taxes and believe that's God, but high government when it comes to morality. So where did taxation come from? It came from the Romans who occupied the land. But Jesus said, render to Caesar. What is Caesar? And you give God what is God. Glory to God. That's why it's important for you to know the word of God and where things come from. Jesus, you're going to see his second argument deals with his choice of a man by the name of Levi, who was a part of the Roman system of taxation. In other words, he collected the tax. And he was hated or abhorred by most of the Jewish people because he was the one that made sure you paid your tax. And if you didn't pay it, he could seize property. He was hated by the religious. And yet Jesus pulls him into his group. Sometimes he pulls the hated into his group. And that's why some of you are going to miss God. I'm preaching, but you're not listening to me. You think it's for somebody else. God will pull people into our arena that you don't like and make them stand before you and start using them. And if you don't get your head together, you will lose your vest. In other words, there's a vest that God has. It's something that he tailored for you. It fits you well. It's a vest for you. It's an anointed cloak that he will give you. But you will use it if you can't embrace what he embraces. Thank you, Lord. You got to deal with Levi, the one that everybody can't stand. The one that everybody can. I don't know why he up in here. I don't know why she up in here. Man, I'm preaching today, man. You better get with Jesus because he would do stuff that most people wouldn't do. That's why you can't say they shouldn't come to this church. Who are they to come up in here? He may just select the one you don't like. After Jesus was neglected by Nazareth, he goes into his hometown, but he couldn't do many miracles because they were too familiar with him. I want y'all to hear this, man. A prophet is without honor save in his own country. In other words, you try to go home and tell them you're saved, they'll be acting like, who are you? Who do you think you are? And I know you. I know your mama. That's what I know your daddy. I know your mama. You'll never be anything as it relates to God. So Jesus had to leave Nazareth. That's where he was born. And some of you want to prove to folk who don't like you anyway just how powerful you are. It's not about them. It's about the mission that God has called you to. He's rejected by his hometown. So he made Capernaum the center of his ministry in Galilee. What's unique about it? I'm sitting on the Mount of the Beatitudes. I went to Israel in 1999, the year that Fred Douglas and his wife joined the ministry, the year that Keith and Sharon joined, the year that the Hubbards joined the ministry and others. And I was moved by that. And while I went to Israel for 14 days, and while there I had a chance to sit on the side of the slope of a mountain or hill called where Jesus gave the Beatitudes. And the teacher there was teaching, and he said, as you look at the Sea of Galilee from this spot and you look to your right, he said, I want you to imagine Jesus coming out of Capernaum, and he walked down this particular area and came to the Sea of Galilee, and then he went this way around it, and he landed and walked up here and began to teach on the mount on this particular hill and gave the Beatitudes. But when he did it, I had an open vision that I could see him literally, the light coming out of this little valley as he was walking for the first time, coming out of Capernaum. And then he walked around the Sea of Galilee and walked up that hill and started teaching, and multitudes gathered. So Capernaum means something. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about as it relates to this. And as I track it through the scripture, as Mark is taking us to Capernaum, he does it for a reason. Because God should work at home, and he should work in your headquarters. Some of you are working in the headquarters on your job, but nobody knows Jesus. Some of you have shifted and changed, but you're ashamed of the gospel when it comes to working outside of the church house into your community. And then some of us, when we go to a new community, we just let our hair down. We want to party when we get to new communities. Don't want anybody to know that we know Jesus. That wasn't Jesus. He moves to Capernaum and changes it. Like Michael Jordan went to Chicago and changed it. That's why Isaiah Thomas is mad with Michael Jordan, because he took over Chicago. And some people are mad with me because I'm taking over Palm Bay. Yeah, I moved here. Yeah. I'm taking over the city. I'm taking it all. I'm taking authority over the principalities and the powers. I'm dethroning everything that ain't like God. I'm not playing with the devil. I'm taking over. I ain't coming to join no parties. I'm coming to set up a headquarters. And you need to start thinking that way. We're not coming here to play games. We're coming here to take over. We're setting new policies. We're releasing new strategies. We're opening up new ministries. We're not trying to deal with what happened before. We're setting something new. Can somebody say amen? Well, make some noise. Oh, my God. So when you're rejected in your hometown, make some noise in the new town. When you're rejected by your own family tree, make noise with your new family. When you're rejected by your previous church, make some noise in your new church. And when your old man didn't like you and you got a new one, make some noise with the new one. And when that girl couldn't see your value, make some noise with the new girl. Man, I'm preaching better than you saying amen. Stop trying to get everybody to like you that never would like you anyway. Oh, my God. God's trying to do a new thing. You're trying to resurrect the old. I'm doing a new thing in you. Rejected by Nazareth, he moves to Capernaum. Several things happened in Capernaum. He performed many miracles, and you're going to see him here in his new spot. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 8. He heals the centurion's daughter. I'm not even worthy to come to my house, but if you send your word. The centurion's, I wouldn't say it's his paralyzed servant. It is not necessarily his daughter. But he sends his word. Glory to God. But the word came out of Capernaum. He also, and you're going to see it here in Matthew chapter 2, a paralyzed man is lowered into his presence. And he heals him as well in Capernaum. Peter's mother-in-law is sick. We don't even know her name. But in Mark chapter 1, he heals her in Capernaum. He also heals a nobleman's son in John chapter 4 in Capernaum. He was constantly walking around the Sea of Galilee and fishing in the Sea of Galilee. He finds Simon, Andrew, James, and John near Capernaum, the first four of his disciples. He also picks up Levi out of Capernaum. You need to understand something. The place, the city, the one that is more of a metropolitan, the one that knows how to work with systems. This is why people don't understand ministry. They think longevity is all about how long you've been in the church. But when Jesus is selecting leaders, he's looking at people who understand like how things work, economics work, and then bring them into the house of God to function in a certain way. But if you're not careful, you will become like a Pharisee or sad, you see.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Make Some Noise in the House, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
Thanksgiving is slightly over 2 weeks away, and Truth Reveal wants to make this memorable. If you are a single parent or facing difficult circumstances this holiday season, please contact Barbette Williams to be a recipient of this year's turkey giveaway. Email moe@truthrevealed.org for details. Awaken Women, remember to join Pastor Sabrina for Sunday School every Sunday at 10 a.m. in the sanctuary.
Attention high school seniors, apply now for the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship and take your first step towards higher education. Tuskegee Airmen Incorporated inspires a passion for aviation through STEM and STEAM programs. Don't miss out. Applications are due by Monday, January 27th. And are available at the communication and promotion counter. For questions, contact Elder Toby Hubbard at 321-305-9831. Seize this opportunity for your future. Calling all men, mark your calendar for Legatus, the 2025 Men's Advance Reloaded on Friday and Saturday, January 10th and 11th. Take advantage of the combo package and order your t-shirt and polo. You do not want to miss this experience. So save the dates and schedule a reminder, and we will see you at Truth Revealed.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.